7 o'clock in San Francisco on the West Coast, in time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
Ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Ladies and gentlemen, all right, we'll accept that. And welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely Memorial Day weekend. And if you can spare us an hour tonight, we would appreciate that very much, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. As a matter of fact, it's practically mandatory. So please settle back and give us some time tonight. And hopefully you can give us a call as well, if with a question or answer. That number is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And I do want to remind you, we do have a toll-free number. It's 866-798-8255. That's once more, 866-798-8255. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank everybody who contributed in general to KALW during our pledge drive, and of course, in a more specific sense, to Minds Over Matter. We had a lot of new members that joined us over the course of that hour, and some very reasonably sized donations. So we certainly appreciate all of the above. It's really important for us to know that we're appreciated in what we try to do for you. And then, I'm sort of speaking for everybody at the station, although they probably don't want me to. But everybody at the station, I know, appreciates all the new members and the people that took the time to contribute. So thank you very, very much for that. Appreciate it a lot. So we were going to have three tonight, but now we only have two because Lori Fisher is not feeling well. He didn't come here and then get sick. So usually that does happen, but not for that particular reason. He's not well, so we are wishing him the best, and we hope he will get well soon. And I'm sure he will be joining us again soon as well. So it's just Jerry and myself. So that means we have more time for your calls. So please feel free. We have some lines open right now, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter. That's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us any old time. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week. And if you'd like to listen to our show anywhere in the world, all you have to do is find kalw.org on your internet. That's kalw.org. And, of course, the internet is a series of tubes, as Bob Dole once said. So... also, if you'd like to get the show podcast, we will provide that for you. But if you'd like to listen to the podcast, it should be available in a reasonable amount of time after the show tonight at kalw.org. So, all that being said, I'm almost out of breath, but not quite. We're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman dutifully tried to watch the last David Letterman show, but only made it through the first five items on the final top 10 best list.
Well, on Thursday and Friday of last week, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, spent a lonely hour between 11:30 p.m. and 12:30 a.m. wide awake and wondering what to do with himself.
So, yes, because although Jerry didn't make it through the Letterman show, I used to make it through it every night. So that's the difference between us. It's a generational thing, I suppose, in some ways.
There are other differences between us.
Yes. Yes. Yes, some fundamental ones, I suppose. But we managed to overlook those in doing the show, so that's just as well. So we will begin, as usual, with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, American Idol is finally going off the air.
Thank goodness.
To resounding applause.
Yes.
Who was its most commercially successful winner?
I would hope they I was sort of hoping they would finally get to you as a judge, but I guess it never quite got that far.
Yeah.
Once more.
American Idol is finally going off the air. Who was its most commercially successful winner?
Well, I'd say it has to be one of the two. It has to be
You only get one guess.
Yeah, that's... Well, okay. Well, it's one of two women, but I'll just guess Carrie Underwood.
Correct.
Okay.
And who is the other? Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you another. Who is the only Asian actor to win an Oscar? I shouldn't ask you that.
All right. I will not say.
Yeah, you don't answer
I
that.
I do know that.
So that's for the audience, as Ede would say.
All right.
Who is the only Asian actor to win an Oscar?
Asian actor. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
All right. Okay.
All right. Let me do a couple of questions for you here. What is the oldest car model in the United States still in production? It's 80 years. It's been in production.
Oldsmobile.
No, no. I want a specific car model.
Oh, model.
It's not an Oldsmobile anyway, so...
Okay.
So I want a particular car model, not necessarily... I mean, I want the make, too, but,
oh, I don't
but
know,
a car
I
model.
Don't, I don't know car models.
So what is the oldest car model that is still in production after 80 years in the United States? The first model came out in 1935.
And it's an American car.
It is an American car. Yes.
Came out in 1895?
No, 1935.
1935.
Yes. You came out in 1895, no.
The Maxwell.
No.
Stanley Steamer.
No.
Okay.
No, it's been made consistently for 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
Produced. So I want
I have
the,
no idea.
I want the particular model.
I know we have some car mavens out there.
Okay. And I came across a curious... A curious graph today that listed the favorite... Actually, it was a map, not a graph. It listed the favorite breakfast cereals in every state in the Union. And to
is
my...
the same cereal?
Well, to my surprise, in the majority of states, in 27 states, what was the favorite breakfast cereal?
27 states.
In 27 out of 50 states, what was the favorite breakfast cereal in the
Cheerios.
U.S.? No.
Oh.
Not Cheerios. And I also want to know, what was the number two? And that's not Cheerios either. Mm. So in 27 states, what was the favorite breakfast cereal? And what was the runner-up in the most states in the U.S.?
Number one, Frosted Flakes.
No.
Okay.
So.
I'm gone. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Eric, from Union City.
Hello.
You said the first Asian actor to win an Oscar. You said, I'm happy an actress?
Was it?
Well, yeah, it could be an
actor.
Yeah,
actor or actress,
sure.
Right. Uh-huh.
Is it Miyoshi Yamaki for Sayonara?
Correct.
Very good.
Very good, okay.
That American car is still in production. I'm not sure this qualifies. It's not the Chevrolet Suburban, is it?
It is the Chevrolet Suburban. Very good.
Oh, wow.
SUV.
There you go. Good job.
Here's, I've got a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, why don't answer this one? What do Bo Diddley, the birds, and the doors all have in common?
did you say I would know that?
You would know the answer.
What do Bo Diddley, the birds, and the doors all have in common?
Yeah, you probably know the answer.
Well, they all debuted on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah, but what was the distinction?
The same night?
No.
Were they all asked to change the lyrics of songs?
Well, that was part of the reason, but for one other reason. You know what it is?
Mm.
Yeah, I know Bo Diddley was asked to change the lyrics, and also, of course, the doors.
The doors were,
well. What was the third group?
They all
appeared only once.
Birds.
They all appeared only once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because they wouldn't change the lyrics.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Birds, so you know the reason why they didn't appear on the Sullivan Show again?
No.
Because David Crosby got into a screaming match with the show's director, Tim Kiley, during rehearsal.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, and here's my second question.
Okay.
What is the only country to have three capitals?
That's South Africa.
Correct.
Johannesburg, Pretoria, and...
That has three capitals?
What's the third capital? Johannesburg, Pretoria, and...
Cape
Town, right, of course.
Cape Town, that's it.
Right. All right.
I got that from trivia today, that's all I knew.
All right. Thank you, Gareth.
Yeah.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We have plenty of time for your calls tonight, so please feel free to dial us up with a question or answer. That number is area code 415-841-4134. With a question or answer, 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Jerry, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. What was the longest running? What it was is the longest running one person show in Broadway history.
So,
in other words, who was the person?
Okay. So, you're not counting any like playing towns around the United States, kind
no,
of
no,
thing.
No, just on Broadway.
Only on Broadway.
Yeah.
Okay. One person show. Huh. Can I ask how long ago it was, or when it started, or anything like that?
About 20 years ago, I guess.
Oh. All right. Is the person that started it still doing it?
Mm-hmm. So, not doing a show, but he's still alive.
Still alive? Okay. All right.
I think it ran 2 or 3 years.
Huh. Okay. One person show. Well, I mean, I remember James Whitmore did it, but he's not still, he's not alive anymore.
No.
And then Ed Flanders, no, that's not right.
No, he did, Whitmore did the Rogers show, but I'm not sure that was on Broadway.
Well, didn't he do Give Him Hell, Harry, too?
He did that, too. That, I don't think that was on. He toured in those.
Okay.
They may have been off Broadway. May have been on Broadway. I don't know.
Hmm. Is this about a real person? The
about
show?
About a real person?
Yeah, is it the show about a real person? I mean, was this person impersonating a real person is what I'm saying, I guess.
He wasn't impersonating a real person.
Oh, so he was being himself. In other words, he was playing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. All right, I have to think about that. Would you repeat the question?
What was the longest-running one-person show in Broadway history? 2 or 3 years, I believe.
Hmm. All right.
I saw it twice, too.
Oh. Didn't understand it the first time? okay. So it's a good show, then?
Yeah.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Huh. Wonder if I've ever seen it. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Me?
Hi, it's you, yes.
Well, I was going to say Buick Century for the car, but obviously not.
No.
And then at first I was thinking about Hal Holbrook as Mark Twain on Broadway, but then the clue was added to it just 20 years ago. I think that is too recent. For
yeah, that's older than 20 years.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So I am left with just to leave you with a question. You're familiar with the Sunset District, and they've got all those lovely alphabetical streets.
Mm. Right.
There are another 3 sets of alphabetical streets in San Francisco. What zip code or what neighborhood are they in?
So there are 3 other sets of alphabetical streets in San Francisco. Okay. And
what are the ones in the Sunset are. I'm not sure what streets those are.
You're not?
Well, I think I know, but why don't you...
Was it Judah and the Irving and the Kirkham and...
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know those. Okay,
right,
those,
right,
are
right, right.
Those are the best known. Okay,
this is a Leah Garchek question. Yeah. So are one of the other sets of alphabetical streets, are they countries?
No, that's not alphabetical. That's the...
Oh, you mean the states and the Petrillo Hill?
Oh, the
are they in alphabetical order, the states in Petrillo Hill? No, I don't think so.
No, they're not the states.
No.
Okay.
No.
And they're not the trees.
Okay.
There's 2 sets of trees as well.
And it's not presidents.
No, it's not presidents. It has nothing to do with, none of them are linked except by alphabet.
Okay.
Oh. Hmm. 2 others, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
3 others.
3 others?
3 others.
Gosh.
Is anything, are one of the... sets near the park or off the panhandle?
No.
Okay.
You're as far away as you could be.
Yeah, usually.
I don't get around much.
we do not know.
You get invited to dance?
Yeah. We don't know, but I think that would be a good question for our listeners to guess at.
So, I'll leave it with the producer if you like.
So let's do that, yes. And so we're going to put you on hold for a minute, okay?
Very good.
All right, thank you. So, all right, and, I guess it's my turn. Okay. What is the only breakfast cereal that has the same name, though it is made by 3 separate companies? What is the only breakfast cereal that has the same name, but it is made by 3 separate companies?
Well, cornflakes.
No.
You're really into cereals this week, aren't you?
Well, I just happened to run across this
cereal question. Yeah. Let's see.
So, in other words, there are three versions of this particular cereal that is called by the same name, but is made.
Is there one that's particularly famous, more famous than
I think they're all pretty, almost equally famous, actually.
Hmm.
So, what is the breakfast cereal that has three separate versions of it made by three different companies, but it's called the same thing?
Is this a generic term like cornflakes, or is it like not like Cocoa Puffs or something?
Yeah, it's pretty generic. Yeah, it's so generic that that's one of the reasons that the name was never changed, because you can't copyright it.
Right, right. Okay. Don't know.
Okay. So what is the only breakfast cereal that has it has three separate versions of itself made by three separate companies? Okay. But it's all called the same thing. And what cereal is that? So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oops. There we go. Sorry about that. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi, you're on.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnival.
Hi, Big Radul.
So I have 5 actors who use initials in lieu of given names, and I'd like you to tell me the name the letter stands for.
Well, okay, maybe. We'll see.
So we'll start with Sir C. Aubrey Smith.
Ooh. Is Cedric?
No.
Should be.
Good guess, yeah. Sir C. Aubrey Smith. Cedric. All right, go on.
Charles. I don't know.
Charles, yeah.
Got it. Charles.
Oh, Charles, okay. Good for
That's
you.
It.
Good job.
LQ Jones.
Who?
LQ Jones. Character actor. Good character actor.
Right.
No idea.
Okay. Well, it's actually his character's name in his first movie called Battle Cry.
Oh.
And he was born Justice Ellis McQueen Jr.
Oh, okay.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
How about F. Murray Abraham?
Oh, yes. I heard that. Frederick? Frederick?
No.
Frank?
No.
We're obviously guessing, but
this is kind of a trick question.
Oh, so there is no real first name?
You got it.
Oh.
Like Harry S. Truman.
Right.
I was just born Murray Abraham.
Okay.
S.C. Zakal.
Oh, yes.
Is it? He's from Hungary. Is it sort of a typical Hungarian name or not? Like Sigmund?
No, I'm not real familiar with Hungarian names.
All right. Is it like Sigmund or something like that?
No.
Stanislaus?
No. I'll give it to you because the initials don't mean anything. It's Sandor Gortner.
Oh, Sandor. Yeah, well, that's not a Hungarian name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the last one is C.C.H. Pounder.
Oh, yeah.
I know him.
Her. C.C.H. Pounder.
Save the best for last.
Right. Charlene? No.
No.
I'm afraid I don't know that at all.
Okay, it's Carol Christine Hilaria Pounder.
Huh.
So.
Well, I'm sorry we didn't do better with that.
Well, that's all I got. It's nice to stump you once in a while.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. See, it's not too hard to stump us. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, that number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or you can call toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good evening, Sid.
Good. Hi.
How are you? So I have 2 questions for you.
Yes.
One is very practical. You know, this time of the year, many of us, no matter how clean your house is, you get bit invasion of ants. So I actually figured the best way to deal with them. I hate to poison them. I hate to have any creatures, suffer. So I invented a new idea. I'll tell you about it. actually just try to find the source where they come from, mm-hmm. and put some food there. So I put three different kind of food, a little bit of sugar, a little amount of sugar, and piece of very nice tasting cake, and piece of cooked chicken. Mm-hmm. And I studied them, and actually they kept them just there. They never made it.
What's the question?
The question is, out of the three food, sugar, piece of cake, or piece of cooked chicken, which one had more ants by far than the rest of them?
Sugar, mm-hmm. I think.
Chicken.
No?
Chicken.
Believe it or not, no. Hmm?
The chicken.
The chicken did, by far.
They like protein.
Cooked chicken had more ants in it.
Oh.
So this would be advice for people who have a problem with ants, especially if you live in the hills.
All right.
Okay, second question. This woman was called, it's actually two-part. She was called the first archaeologist in human history. What is her name?
Is this an Egyptian woman?
Cleopatra.
Egyptian woman.
Nefertiti.
No. She also was a king. She was not a queen. She actually was a king. She wore the king's hat or dress or whatever, and she even had a false beard. She was a king. She was a king for about.
Is this the one that was played by Gene Tierney in the movie?
I'm not very sure. I'm not familiar with the movie.
All right.
But she did. She was a king. She also had some of the beautiful, most beautiful artifact.
How can a woman be a king? I don't get this.
Well, she became a king because she married her half-brother who was only 10 years old, and she declared herself a king.
Okay.
And she was.
Right.
And she actually was one of the most golden part of Egyptian history. She also was the first archaeologist because she took four ships and went down with them to Central Africa somewhere.
Well, so it is good to be the king, yes.
Yeah.
incense, animals, elephants, goodies, gold, and all kind of things.
We do not know, Eid.
Hatshepsut.
Oh.
Hatshepsut.
Don't know this person.
Zunta.
Yeah. Hatshepsut. The second part of the question is, this woman was the first mathematician, philosopher in human history, Egyptian as well.
All
what
right.
was her name?
Oh, all right, this is another question.
Okay, I knew it before. He told me before the answer.
Nefertiti.
No.
That's the only one he knows.
That happened during the Hellenistic era, 375.
We have no idea.
AD.
Okay.
No, he knew it, guys. Remember the movie Agora was about her?
Oh, yes. The one who was there when they burned the library of Alexandria.
Right. Her father, and she was the head of the Alexandria robbery.
Right.
Library, and she was eventually killed by a bunch of marauding Christians.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't remember her name, unfortunately.
She was born in the year 375 A.D., and she was killed in the year 415.
Right.
Question for your audience. Please don't answer. It's a very simple question. Don't answer it. I know some of you know.
It's your fourth question, Ian.
I know. What is the true color of water? That's it. What is the true color of water?
All right.
Don't answer.
You asked us that about four times.
Yeah, you've asked that.
I know, but I want the audience to.
It's green. I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's not green. Okay, leave it to the audience.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
He asks that question about every 2 weeks.
He loves that question. He really does. And
we never get it right either. It's like pays to be ignorant.
Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. It's just the two of us tonight, so we have more time to take your calls. Although you wouldn't know that after he'd send a minute call.
Yeah.
Our call letters here are KALW, and we are at 91.7 FM. We are your local public radio station. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Eric in San Francisco.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah, I have automobile question earlier.
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question. What model or company created a model called Dictator?
That's...
It ran from like 1927 to 1937.
Right.
And the company lasted quite a while.
I want to say it was a Studebaker?
Yeah, that's it.
Right. I remember that. It's such an unusual name that you couldn't help
remember. I don't think it worked very well in Nazi times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
The Studebaker Dictator. Huh?
Studebaker Dictator, yes.
What years?
I think it was less than what he thought. I think it was only for maybe 3 years in the
20s.
No, at the very beginning of the 30s.
Wow.
Yeah. When dictators were so popular.
Yeah.
You know. And let's see. I think it's your turn, Jerry.
Okay. Did I ask this question? The Hudson River is not a real river. What is it?
It is not a real river.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know what defines a real river, but you probably do.
So the name Hudson River is a misnomer then. Hmm. So is it an inlet? Is it a... You're looking for the definition of it?
I like the actual, geographical name or...
Huh. So, but what it's actually... What it not... Not the. It doesn't have a different name than Hudson, but you're for what? How you
it's
would describe it geographically?
It's a different kind of body of water. Okay. In other words, that's what I'm looking
for. All right. Ask the question once more.
The Hudson River is not a real river. What is it?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Is the cereal Raisin Bran?
It is Raisin Bran, yes.
Oh.
Raisin Bran. There's a Kellogg's Raisin Bran, there is a Total Raisin Bran, and there is a Post Raisin Bran.
And the best one is Post.
Is it that the best one? I know, I never
remember. Okay, I'll remember that when I go to the store.
I was a connoisseur of Raisin Bran when I was a kid.
Okay.
And then was the Hudson River estuary by any chance?
That's close enough. It's a tidal estuary.
Oh, all right.
Very good.
Very good.
And then the other thing I wondered was the longest running one-man show. Was that a magician?
Oh.
No, it was not a magician.
Oh, okay. Well, then
that's a good guess. Doug Henning had a show for a while. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, that's all for me.
Well, very good. Thank you so much.
What just from my edification, what is an estuary exactly?
a body of water.
Okay, thank you. All right.
And let's see. For instance, I live in Alameda, and there is an estuary that separates Alameda from Oakland, and it's an artificial body of water. In other words, it was dug. So I think it's a body of water that is between two other bodies of water. In other words, almost like a. I'm sure I'm getting this all wrong, but it's sort of like a narrow bay, maybe, this kind of thing.
Okay, somebody will probably know.
Somebody will know more than me. Anyway, we do have a couple of lines open, so feel free to give us a call 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. All right. Let's see here. What was the first national food product to issue a gay-themed edition? In other words, to come out with a special edition of their product that had a gay theme to it. Like it was a rainbow theme. What was the first national food product to issue a gay-themed edition?
Food product?
It's a food product, a very well-known food product.
How weird.
And it had a gay-themed edition. This is a few years ago. Extremely well-known food product.
I can't imagine why a food
that you have eaten in your time.
I have eaten.
I'm sure you have.
I can't imagine why a food product could be separated that way.
No. It's a very famous food product, very popular, and
is it a brand name or is it a product particular?
Yeah,
product?
It's a brand name. I mean, I'm looking for the brand name. So what is the first national food product to issue a gay-themed edition? It was a rainbow flag motif on this food product.
Wow.
Yeah. And it got a lot of blowback for it, too, the company. So the product.
Is it still out there?
No, it was kind of a special thing for a short period of time.
Oh. Okay.
But it got a lot of publicity.
Okay.
Not in your house, apparently.
Not many people's houses, I don't know.
No. Well, I don't know, around here, maybe. But
gay food product.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a gay food product. It's a product that had a gay theme to a special edition of it, so.
I see, okay.
All right, I wouldn't call it overall a gay food product, although I'm sure it's popular with many gay people.
Gay themed, okay.
Yes. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, okay. Some people must have dropped out. This is Linda Nel Cerrito.
Hi.
Hi. My husband was going to guess Raisin Bran, so he should get a vicarious bell.
All right. There you go.
Now, on the gay themed, since we're on a cereal theme, it wouldn't be Wheaties, would it?
It is not a cereal.
Okay. So. All right. Just a thought. I have a question. It's a very low-hanging fruit kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
And if Leah were on, wouldn't dare use it because it came. The origin was from her column.
Oh.
But you may know that there's such a thing as an honorary Harlem Globetrotter.
And, yes.
Yes. And Pope Francis was the latest one to receive that honor.
Right.
Okay. So altogether, there were 9 that have been given that, and I wondered how many of those you could name.
Right.
Honorary Harlem Globetrotter?
Right.
I happen to know a couple of these.
Who gives it out?
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes, right. Mm.
And it's usually they're given to people who are very big fans of the Globetrotters. And,
the Pope is?
Very. Yeah, well, I don't know. I think they played for him, so who knows. But I know the first one was Henry Kissinger.
That's right. Very good. 1976.
Right. And and I think Bob Hope was one, too.
Okay, excellent. That was the year after. Two of them are...
One of the great Harlem Globetrotters just died a few days ago, Marquis Haynes.
No, it wasn't him.
No, I know it wasn't. I'm just mentioning this as a footnote.
I think Nelson Mandela was one, too.
Okay, that was 1996, right?
Right. Who else?
Bill Cosby.
No, not Bill Cosby.
So he was a spokesman for the Globetrotters for a while. Yeah.
If he got it, it's been revoked. Can you tell me who the two women are?
Yeah. One is somebody who was in the Olympics. Female.
One would be Condoleezza Rice, maybe?
No.
That's not a bad guess. I think Jackie Joyner Kersee was one.
That's right. Yeah, she's one of them.
Okay.
The other one is quite a different kind of person.
Was it an athlete?
No.
No, I don't think I know that one.
Okay. Should I tell you?
Yeah.
That's Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
okay. Somehow.
All right.
All right. So there are a few more if you want to try them.
Give me a hint.
One of them is an athlete, a man.
Was it like a Magic Johnson or something like that?
Okay, close enough. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Okay.
And one other one was a political person.
Bill Clinton.
That's not bad.
Who'd you say?
Bill Clinton.
No.
That's a good guess. Political person. No, we don't know.
Okay, that's Jesse Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and one other one kind of fits in the list in a way, too.
You got one more left?
One more.
So the last one's a political person, too?
No. Kind of in his own category, but from the other ones, you might be able to guess.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay, that was Pope John Paul II.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes sense.
So it's a rather eclectic
list,
you might say.
Definitely.
Sounds like a pure publicity gimmick to me.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Henry Kissinger, I mean, how much publicity do they expect to get for
how
that?
How many? Yeah. Strange.
Anyway, okay.
Well, anyway, I owe credit to Leah, the source of many wonderful things.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. That number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
I only have one. What was the longest running one-person show on Broadway?
Okay. And that person is still alive.
Yeah.
It's a man.
Yeah.
Has this person still doing the show or
no,
not
no.
stopped doing the show?
No.
Okay. So my question was, what is the first, and this is an extremely well-known product, the first national food product to issue a gay-themed edition of its product? It had a rainbow flag motif on it. So what was the first national food product, very well-known product, I'm just looking for the product's name, to issue a gay-themed edition?
Is this a drink, by any chance?
It is not a drink.
Okay.
No. The actual, it's a solid food, and the, okay. I mean, you know, okay. the food itself had, it looked like a rainbow flag. And there was a map that I saw of the favorite breakfast cereals in all states of the U.S. In 27 states, the same breakfast cereal won. So what is the breakfast cereal that is the most popular in the U.S.? It is the top cereal in 27 states. And what is the number two runner-up?
I got a pretty good guess, I think, for the gay-themed food product edition. Ben and Jerry's ice cream?
That's a very good guess, but no, it's not Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Okay.
No.
Because they always latch on to pop culture.
Yeah. But no, that's not it. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
This is Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Someone had called in with a question about alphabetical streets in San Francisco.
Yes.
A couple of other neighborhoods. One is the Sunnyside area, Glen Park, Sunnyside.
Kevin is shaking his head yes. So,
what are some of the streets Acacia? There? What are some of the streets?
Nodding
there?
His head yes, I should say.
Acacia, Baden, Congo, Detroit.
Oh, okay.
On through Genesee. And then also in the Bayview, interestingly enough, there's a long stretch of alphabetically ordered streets that actually starts repeating itself, starting with Arthur and going all the way through Yosemite. And then it starts up again right around the Candlestick, Armstrong to Meade.
All right. Kevin,
woman
is Kevin
who knows
saying
her
yes.
Streets. Yeah.
Yes.
And then Robert has some answers.
All right.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I'm wondering if Billy Crystal is the longest-running one-man show.
Oh, who? Billy Crystal.
No, not Billy Crystal.
All right.
He had a long-running show, but it wasn't as long as this one.
It was the gay-themed food, Oreos.
It was Oreo, yes.
Yeah, I thought
Oreos.
That they did a rainbow one fairly recently.
What was the...
Yeah, I think it was 2012.
What was the... can you describe what the...
It was an Oreo with a lot of stuffing in the between, and then it had a rainbow flag motif on the stuffing.
And finally, is the number one breakfast cereal the cereal that's already been mentioned, Raisin Bran?
No, it is not Raisin Bran.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you very much. And let's see here. Is it your turn? I think it's your turn, Jerry.
What famous pop cultural figure, not a singer, was born Terrence Bollea, B-O-L-L-E-A, in Georgia?
B-O-L-L-E-A.
Terrence Bollea.
So what famous pop culture person, not a singer?
Right.
In where was he born?
In Georgia.
Georgia. Not a singer. And so this person uses neither the first or last name he was born with.
No. Totally made up name.
Okay. This person's still alive?
Yeah. Still active.
Still active, Terrence Bollea, but not a singer. An actor?
Huh?
An actor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. Among other things.
Among other things?
Among other thing.
Thing. All right. So he's famous for two things?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. All right. No, I do not know. Terrence Bollea is from Georgia. What's this person's stage name?
Not a singer.
Not a singer. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
I had to turn off the radio for a while, and I think the question got answered already about the cereal that was with three different companies.
Yes, and your answer was?
Shredded Wheat.
Oh, see, you would
that's
have been wrong.
That's a good guess. That may be true also.
But, no, it's Raisin Bran.
Oh.
But there's several Shredded Wheats out there, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if you would entertain a sports question.
I would.
Yeah, Jerry would entertain it.
Especially if it's baseball.
Yeah.
Well, it's half baseball. In 1963, the most valuable player in the National League in baseball and in the American League in baseball and in the National Football League and in the extinct now American Football League all wore the number 32?
Oh, very good question. Unfortunately, I have not the slightest idea.
So what are you looking for here?
The four players, one in each of those.
They all have the same number, different players.
So go over the list once more of the
four. 1963,
right?
The most valuable player in the National Football League, the American Football League, the National League in Baseball, and the American League in Baseball all wore the number 32.
63.
Excellent question.
Is Mantle or Maris one of them?
Nope.
No. He was seven.
Okay. Seems so young to play.
63.
Let's
are they
see.
Still are they still names that we would know?
Let me think about this.
Any of them, I mean.
Oh, yes. Two of them are among the most famous players.
Y.A. Tittle.
No.
Great name. 63.
Wow.
If you want a hint, I can give you a hint.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think in the National Football League may be considered the greatest player ever.
Oh.
Or for a long time he was.
Hmm.
Oh.
Gosh, I should know that. I'm not too well versed in football.
Well, if you don't know it, let's leave it out for people, and then we'll let people guess on it, because it's a good question.
And they're all the most valuable players, huh?
In 1963, yes.
Okay.
And
they all had the same number.
That's
same
very
number. American Football League, National Football League, American League, and National League.
Yeah. All right. So
interesting.
We're going to put you on hold, and then you give the names. Would you do that?
Sure.
All right. Thank you. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I just don't have no idea what it is, what the answer is. And can we go to the next call? Okay, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hey, I'm Steve in San Francisco.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. Did anybody bother to define an estuary?
I tried.
He made a stumbling attempt.
Yes, it's a very stumbling attempt.
Go ahead.
Right. What I read is that San Francisco Bay is not a bay. It's an estuary because it's got a river feeding into it.
Uh-huh. Oh.
It has more than one river feeding into it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So in other words, any body of water that is not a river, that has a river feeding into it, is an estuary.
Right.
So the Hudson...
That can't be right, but what about an ocean, because you have rivers feeding into an ocean?
Well, that's a word.
Yeah, actually, the Pacific Ocean is a large estuary.
That's a very large estuary. All right. That's not an ocean. It's an estuary. Okay, fine.
It's a confined body of water that has... fresh water feeding into it.
All right, fair enough.
So what would be the river that's flowing into the East River, or the body of water that's flowing?
Or the Hudson River, you mean?
The Hudson River.
The river that's flowing into the ocean.
Oh, well, anyway.
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, you're our expert for the evening, though, on estuaries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. There was a list that came out that the Book Magazine, I should say, came up with, and they polled their readers. And the question was, what are the 100 best characters in books since 1900? And Jerry loves these type of questions.
I do.
What are the so?
But it sounds so familiar to others you've asked like that.
No, well, these are just the
100 best. What does that mean?
The 100. Their readers voted on what they considered the 100 best characters from books since 1900.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you five names.
Okay.
And I just want you to tell me what the book is.
Oh, that's...
So that's... Is that fair?
That's very good.
Okay.
Very
that's fair. Fine. So again, these are voted on, and these are some of the 100 best characters in books since 1900, according to Book Magazine. So here we go. Number one, Nettie Merrill. Nettie, N-E-D-D-Y, Merrill, M-E-R-R-I-L-L. So Nettie Merrill. Number two, Jeffrey Furman. Furman is F-I-R-M-I-N. Number three is Charles Kinboat. Kinboat is K-I-N-B-O-T-E. Number four is Margaret Schlegel. Schlegel is S-C-H-L-E-G-E-L. And number,
so far, 0 for 4.
Number, all right. Number five is Alden Pyle. Pyle is P-Y-L-E. So again, these are voted on as the as some of the 100 best characters in books since 1900. I want you to identify the book that they come from. Number one is Nettie Merrill. Number two is Jeffrey Furman. Number three is Charles Kinboat. Number four is Margaret Schlegel. Number five is Alden Pyle. These are all lead characters. So these are all, these are not minor characters. These are lead characters. So you want to guess on any of these, Jerry?
I have no idea. I'm sorry to say.
I would venture you probably have read a couple of them.
Well,
maybe the easy eye versions, I don't know.
None of the names sound familiar at all, but...
Okay.
They may later.
They have all been made into movies, to my knowledge, yes. Pretty high-profile movies, too.
Can you give us the star of the movies that you know?
I could.
That might help.
I will say that... all right, why not? Okay. I will say that Nettie Merrill was played by Burt Lancaster.
Oh, a man. Oh.
A man, yes. Jeffrey Furman was played by... that British actor, the Murder on the Orient Express, he played Hercule Poirot. Went right out of my head.
Yeah, of
it'll
course,
come to me in a second. You always know what I mean.
The same guy that does it on TV?
No. Okay, anyway, I'll move on from
Peter,
that.
Peter Ustinov.
No. Okay. Anyway, sorry about that. Okay. I didn't mean to confuse the issue here. Number three, Charles Kinboat, I believe, was played by Dirk Bogarde. Margaret Schlegel was played by Emma Thompson. And Alden Pyle was played by, there were a couple versions of this, and I'll say Audie Murphy was one of them. So there you go. If that helps you at all.
Nettie Merrill. Burt Lancaster, that wouldn't be... Come Back, Little Sheba.
Come Back, Little Sheba. But it's a drama.
Dirk Bogarde, Charles Kinboat.
Right. I think.
Okay.
I'm kind of semi-guessing on that.
Marjorie Schlegel, Emma Thompson, that wouldn't be the Remains of the Day?
No, it's not Remains of the Day, but you're sort of in the general right area there. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Billy from Bernal.
Hi.
I lost out in the Bayview.
Oh, well.
That's the way it goes. Was it the Broadway show Tommy Toon?
No.
That's
no,
a good guess.
No,
that's a pretty good guess.
Well, he didn't have a... He had a... He recently had a one-man show. I don't know if it was on Broadway. Maybe it... But not very long so far.
Anyway. Okay. I mean, he had one some years ago, I thought.
No, he didn't do a one-man show, I don't think, a long time ago.
Okay. Oh,
and
right.
Was the... I know sports like nothing. But was the most valuable player Johnny Unitas?
We are checking.
Well, there were four. You have to guess.
Yeah. I got to get all four?
Well, I don't know if you have to get all four. One would be fine.
Tell Steve to stop surfing the internet and pay attention. all right, we're consulting this. No.
Unitas.
No, it is not.
Okay,
not Unitas.
Johnny Unitas is not one.
That's it. I'm done.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Denise in San Francisco.
Hi, Denise.
Hi. All right, so I wanted to define an estuary properly.
Okay.
And if the Hudson River is not truly a river, it must be part of, in fact, the mouth of another river, because an estuary is the mouth of a river where it meets salt water, and it's the section of the river where the tide comes, at high tide, the tide comes in and mixes with the fresh water.
Okay.
So, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Great.
I appreciate that definitive answer.
Well, I'm sort of curious. I'm not very good on my New York geography, but what river is the Hudson River, therefore, actually the mouth of?
That's what I was kind of trying to ask, but he didn't know, so I don't know.
Well, we invite people who know that to let us know.
Okay. Question will go on and on.
Yeah, probably, like most of our questions.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. The number with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
I am so glad that the gay-themed food turned out to be Oreos and not Hostess Twinkies.
or snowballs.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
We had a question a couple weeks ago while you were gallivanting around Sweden. All right. About the Battle of Lepanto. There was a question about whether it was a naval battle or a land battle, and it was indeed a naval battle.
Yeah, that I would have known.
Good. Tell me about the Battle of Aboukir Bay.
Oh, I was hoping I could add on to the Battle of Lepanto.
The Battle of what bay?
Why was it important?
Say
Aboukir Bay.
Spell it for me, will you, please?
A-B-U capital Q-I-R.
Huh.
Sometimes known as the Battle of the Nile.
So is that the between Napoleon and the British?
Yes.
In 17, I want to say it's like 96, 97, 98, around there?
98,
okay.
Yes. And who was commanding the British?
No, I want to say Nelson, but...
Yes.
Was it Nelson? Okay.
It was Nelson.
All right.
And what was its significance?
Well...
The victory.
It chased Napoleon out of Egypt. He left Egypt. He might have even left before the battle. I know he...
No, he left because of the battle.
He left because of the battle. He left in a hurry. I remember that.
Yeah.
It gave the British the control of Egypt, I believe, didn't it?
Yes, the effective front door to the Indian Empire.
Right, effective control of
the
Egypt.
Suez Canal.
Right, and it gave them the territory, or at least control of the territory that later became the Suez Canal. Right, right.
Yes, very good.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, you.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
And let's see here. All right, I'll ask one more cereal question, because I know how much you enjoy those, Jerry. What was the first puffed cereal? First puffed, you know, where they force air into it and make it a puffed
cereal.
Obviously
not puffed.
It is. It's still around.
Not puffed rice.
It is not puffed rice, and it's still around. It's a popular cereal. What was the first puffed cereal? It was. It started production in 1937.
I can't think of any other puffed cereals but rice and.
Well, there are lots of them.
Like what? Name some. Not...
Well, if I name one, I might name the.
No, don't want to name
the
one
I'm looking for.
The answer, but
well, you know, like Trix is a puff cereal.
I don't know cereal.
And I always think of the sugary puff cereals because that's what I used to eat when I was a kid. But yeah, you know, you all know what I mean. What was the first puffed cereal? It's still around. Started in 1937.
Is it shot from guns?
No, that was only Quaker. What was that? The Quaker.
Quaker puffed wheat.
Quaker puffed wheat.
Shot from guns.
Shot from guns, yeah.
Whatever.
It didn't make me want to buy it. So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is David in Berkeley.
Hi.
A couple of years being a football fan in the late 60s pays off. I know that...
So you were only a football fan for a couple years in the late 60s?
For 2 years, that's right. I'm sure Gale Sayers was number 32 and the great NFL running back.
Okay.
No, we're getting a head shake.
No.
Yeah.
That's such a good guess.
So apparently it wasn't those two years that you were a football fan.
Well, but I think also Margaret Schlegel, is it from Wrinkle in Time?
It is not a Wrinkle in Time. It's a very different kind of book than that.
I'm doing great. Yeah. But I did want to say the Hudson River, the lower half is an estuary, but it is also a river.
Well,
the Hudson River is a river, but the lower half of it forms an estuary and flows into New York Harbor, which is part of a tidal, which is a big tidal.
God, I wouldn't guess there were so many estuary experts out there.
You never know.
It's not an either-or thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's a river that that becomes an estuary as it flows into and becomes a tidal estuary under the influence of the seawater and the tide from the ocean.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean it's not a river anymore. It still has that identity.
Okay, that's interesting.
I take that from
okay.
it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. River, stay away from my door.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to start such a controversy.
You just never know what question is going to engender these calls, huh? And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas. Do you want to tell us about an estuary?
I'm not into that.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're not into that.
I just don't know my rivers very well.
All right, that's fine.
So this puffed cereal, it isn't Rice Krispies, is it?
It is not Rice Krispies.
That longest-running one-person show, did anybody try Jackie Mason?
Nobody did, but you did, and you got it.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Great.
The World According to Me.
Yeah.
Very good.
I remember it. Really
very good. Very funny show, yeah.
Funny man.
Excellent, yeah.
And what about some of these people? Margaret
Schlegel.
Schlegel. Is she Howard's End?
That's Howard's End, yes. Yes.
And what about Alvin Pyle? Is that the Quiet American?
The Quiet American. Very good.
I only got that because Graham Greene. Audie Murphy clue.
Oh. Yes.
And then I have a question.
Yes.
That's the Ugly American. That's a different book.
No, that's a different book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the American, there was this thing in the parade today about the all-time blockbuster for summer that was an animated movie. And this was the top movie of them all.
Shrek?
In terms of grossing and stuff like
what? Shrek?
The choices they gave were Toy Story 3, Lion King, and another one. So you only have two choices.
Lion King.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was very impressed with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dan from Daly City.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. I missed a few minutes of the show. You haven't gotten the cereal yet?
You mean the favorite breakfast cereal or which one?
Yeah, the favorite breakfast cereal in 27 states.
Yes. No, we have not gotten that yet.
Okay. It's not just Kellogg's Corn Flakes, is it?
It is not, no.
Okay.
It's a sugary cereal.
Oh.
If that helps you.
Okay, it's Cocoa Puffs.
Not Cocoa Puffs.
Okay. I've already got two guesses, so I guess I better...
No, you can have another guess if you want. We're almost out of time.
Cocoa Krispies.
No.
Okay.
See, now don't you feel foolish taking that third guess?
No, not really. I just
don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
Can I give a question?
Yeah, go ahead. Very quick.
Okay. There's no way to know for sure, but most biblical scholars feel that there's... most of them are pretty sure there's one book of the Bible that was probably the oldest, probably the first one written. What book was that?
Genesis. That's the oldest. So you mean one that was written before any other book of the Bible?
Yeah, of the books that we now have that are considered books of the Bible.
So this would be the Old Testament, obviously.
It would have to be the Old Testament, obviously.
Right.
What book was probably the first one written, at least among the ones we still have, anyway?
It would be the oldest book of the Bible. So it's not Genesis.
No, that would seem to be the obvious answer, but it's not Genesis.
That's why I picked it, because it was the obvious answer. But I was wrong. Solomon? No.
Not Song of Solomon.
Not Song of Solomon. No, I'm sorry. I'm not terribly good at the Old Testament. No, what is it?
Okay, it was Deuteronomy.
And why is that considered the oldest?
I don't know the history and the biblical scholarship, but evidently people who do know those things have figured that because of its subject matter and for a variety of other reasons that pop. The rest of the Pentateuch, I guess, seemed to be modeled after it, seemed to have come after it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. And time to clean up here. Okay. Jerry, what do we got?
Just one question. The famous pop cultural figure who was born, Terrence Bollea, is indeed, in Georgia, is Hulk Hogan.
Okay. I never would have gotten that.
No.
And the favorite breakfast cereal in 27 different states. Favorite breakfast cereal is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh,
Cinnamon
wow.
Toast Crunch.
I tried it once. I didn't think it was so good.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. And I don't know. I don't know if California is one of those states or not. The number two favorite breakfast cereal in the U.S. in terms of its favorite by state is Special K. So obviously two very vastly different groups of people there. Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Special K. Yeah. The first puff cereal was Kix. Kix, which is cereal I do like.
Of course.
1937.
I see that. Yeah.
The characters in books since 1900, Nettie Merrill, that's The Swimmer by John Cheever.
Oh.
Burt Lancaster played that. Jeffrey Furman is Under the Volcano, Malcolm Lowry, and Charles Skinboat is Pale Fire by Nabokov. Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We certainly enjoy your company. We hope you enjoy ours as well. We hope you will join us again next Sunday at 7. Our panel tonight was well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. Our great thanks to you for joining us, and please be here next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.